All right, welcome to this week's Bible study, Daniel chapter 9, part 1. This is a re-recording of a live Bible study that we did where I had some technical difficulties, as we like to say. But we're going to go through it, and then this evening we will actually get into part 2 of this chapter. Right now we're going to cover the first 19 verses. Because this chapter is basically two sections, the one about Daniel's prayer, which we'll cover today, or at least right now, and then later on this evening, we're going to look at verses 20 through 27, and those are amazing verses of prophecy. So we have a section on prayer and a section on prophecy. So let's get right into it. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, as some say, the son of Ahasuerus, and I'm not sure about that pronunciation, never heard it before, a Mede by birth who was ruler over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet that the number of years for the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70. Now, again, a couple points I want to make here is that back in that day, the way they expressed when something happened generally was a certain year of a king's reign. I mean, they didn't have BC and AD back in those days. Those weren't put in till many, many hundreds of years later. So we see here that Daniel was actually reading from Jeremiah's writings and fully believed them. And so we have to understand that a lot of these Bible characters read and knew and understood verses from Scripture that predated them. And that's very interesting when you really stop to think about it. So now let's go to Leviticus. And because some people might say, why 70 years? It says here, it says, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that the number of years for the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70. So why 70? Well, Leviticus tells us, Leviticus 25, beginning in verse 2. Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you enter the land I am giving you, the land will observe a Sabbath to the Lord. You may sow your field for 6 years, and you may prune your vineyard and gather its produce for 6 years. But there will be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land in the seventh year, a Sabbath to the Lord. You are not to sow your field or prune your vineyard. You are not to reap what grows by itself from your crop or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. It must be a year of complete rest for the Lord or for the land. Whatever the land produces during the Sabbath year can be food for you, for yourself, your male or female slave, and the hired hand or foreigner who stays with you. All of its growth may serve as food for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. So they were not to work the soil. They were not to do all the things that they normally did to get a good harvest. They were to let the land rest, but there would always be some volunteers, there would always be some food coming up from the land anyway, and they were allowed to have that. But every 7 years, they were to let the land rest. Now, in Jeremiah 25, reading on about this sort of thing, it says, Jeremiah 25, 9, I'm going to send for all the families of the north, this is the Lord's declaration, and send my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and I will bring them against this land, against its residents, and against all these surrounding nations, and I will completely destroy them and make them a desolation, a derision, and ruins forever. Now, notice that it says, my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Now, Nebuchadnezzar eventually did come to know God and understand God, but at this time he did not. So why does he say, my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon? Well, because whether Nebuchadnezzar knew it or not, he was doing the will of God. God is in control, and he considered him his servant because Nebuchadnezzar thought he was doing what he wanted to do, but in reality, he was fulfilling the word of God. So Jeremiah 25:10, I will eliminate the sound of joy and gladness from them, the voice of the groom and the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. This whole land will become a desolate ruin, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. For this is what the Lord says, when 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will attend to you and will confirm my promise concerning you to restore to this place. Now look at 2 Chronicles. Now 2 Chronicles is a book of history, right? And it's saying what happened. 2 Chronicles 36:20. He deported those who escaped from the sword to Babylon, and they became servants to him and his sons until the rise of the Persian kingdom. We know that the Medes and the Persians eventually overtook Babylon and conquered them. So 2 Chronicles 36:21. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, and the land enjoyed its Sabbath rest all the days of the desolation until 70 years were fulfilled. So for 490 years, they did not observe this law of the Sabbath year. And so it's kind of like there used to be a commercial, I think it was about motor oil, and they said, pay me now or pay me later. In other words, if you don't use this oil properly, your engine's going to have trouble and you're going to wind up paying for engine repair. So pay me now or pay me later. God was saying, I'll get my Sabbath. I'll get those 7 years, you know, where you missed, you know, 70 times you did not observe the seventh year. So I'm going to take them. And that's what he did. He put him in captivity for 70 years. All right, moving on now in Daniel. We're back to Daniel, Daniel 9:3. So I turned my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and petitions, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. We see this on a number of occasions in the Old Testament, where they would fast when they really wanted to get as close to God as they could and have a powerful prayer. They would fast beforehand. And then the sackcloth was a rough, abrasive kind of fabric that would really, you know, kind of eat in and bristle the skin a little bit. And it wasn't pleasant. And they didn't want something pleasant. They wanted this element of suffering. And then the ashes were a visible expression that they would put on their bodies, a visible expression of their sorrow and repentance. So verse 4 of chapter 9, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Ah, Lord, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. We have sinned, done wrong, acted wickedly, rebelled, and turned away from your commands and ordinances. You know, in many of our churches today, it's about reaping God's blessings. You know, come to the altar because God wants to bless you. But where is repentance? Verse 6. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, leaders, fathers, and all the people of the land. Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but this day public shame belongs to us. Notice how Daniel, I get Daniel and Joseph mixed up sometimes because there are some parallels. But he says public shame belongs to us. Daniel includes himself, even though he was a very, very good man and probably not guilty of any of the things that the people had done, but yet he includes himself. Public shame belongs to us, the men of Judah, the residents of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are near and those who are far, in all the countries where you have dispersed them because of the disloyalty they have shown toward you. Lord, public shame belongs to us, our kings, our leaders, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled against him. and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by following his instructions that he set before us through his servants, the prophets. In other words, he's saying, we have no excuse. You told us what to do. It was written down. We knew exactly what we were supposed to do. It wasn't like we weren't told. Verse 11, all Israel has broken your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. The promised curse written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. So Daniel, you know, doesn't beat around the bush. He says, absolutely, we are totally guilty of all these things. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and I want to show you how God responds to faithfulness and unfaithfulness. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now, this is a long chapter, so I'm just going to read a couple sentences which will provide the meaning. Verse 1. Now, if you faithfully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all his commands I am giving you today, the Lord your God will put you far above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come and overtake you because you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. And on down through verse 14 is all about different types of blessings. But in 15 it says this, but if you do not obey the Lord your God by carefully following all his commands and statutes I am giving you today, all these curses will come and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. He has carried out, that shows you there in Deuteronomy 28. I started to get ahead of myself there. We're going, getting ready to go back to Daniel. But as you can see, if you follow his commands, all these blessings you're going to have. If you do not follow his commands, then there's all these curses. And the curses go clear through to the end of chapter 28. Okay, now back to Daniel 9:12. He has carried out his words that he spoke against us and against our rulers by bringing on us so great a disaster that nothing like what has been done to Jerusalem has ever been done under all of heaven. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not appeased the Lord our God by turning from our iniquities and paying attention to your truth. So the Lord kept the disaster in mind and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all he has done, but we have not obeyed him. Daniel is saying, absolutely, what the Lord did to us, we deserved it. He was righteous in doing it. Verse 15. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made your name renowned as it is this day, we have sinned. We have acted wickedly. Then he says this, Lord, and look at this phrase, Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, may your anger and wrath turn away. So this is the first verse where he gets down to asking for forgiveness and asking that the punishment be lifted and his wrath be turned away. May your anger and wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, from your holy mountain, for because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become an object of ridicule to all those around us. And I thought about this, and I thought about Israel, and I thought about when Israel was in its heyday, when all the 12 tribes were together under Saul, then David, then Solomon. And during Solomon's time, the kingdom was at its broadest parameters geographically. Excuse me. It had the most wealth. It had the most power. It had the most prestige. It was the leading country. Other leaders would travel just to meet with Solomon, and it was a wonderful thing. But there was a turning point there during Solomon's kingdom. There was a turning point. You know, he had all these wives and concubines, these foreign wives, and they would entice him to go into their worship services and to worship their gods. And Solomon personally started going downhill. Solomon started doing things he shouldn't have done, and this caused all kinds of problems. He started using his own people basically as slaves, which, talk about how ironic that was. And they rebelled, and at his death, his son just doubled down on what Solomon was doing. And so then there was this split, and you had the two tribes in the south remain there. The 10 tribes in the north went up and started worshiping in the area which later became known as Samaria. It might have been known as Samaria at that time too. They actually worshiped in a different location. They didn't come to Jerusalem like they were supposed to. It went from greatness to just a shambles is what happened. And I look at our country today and how we were once the most powerful nation on earth, and in some ways we still are, but the most powerful nation on earth. Everybody envied us. So many citizens from certain communist and socialist countries wanted to come here because they wanted our freedom. We were the ideal. Our constitution was incredible, how it was set up to secure our freedoms. And now our leaders, for the most part, are ignoring our constitution. They are ignoring the will of the people. They tell us one thing, they do another. Many of them have been bought out. They simply have. I've read a lot about this. I truly believe that many of them have been bought out and kind of sold their souls to the devil, kind of a thing. And if it's possible to really do that, they've done it. And because of that, our country is going downhill. Our morality is just in a terrible state right now. And I really have a lot of grave concerns about the future of our country. And I see a lot of parallels between what is happening to our country right now and what happened to the nation of Israel as they started crumbling from within. So let's look at 17 there. Therefore, our God, hear the prayer and the petitions of your servant. Show your favor to your desolate sanctuary for the Lord's sake. Again, it's all about, Daniel was framing this, you know, please turn your wrath away for your sake, because we have become an embarrassment. We have become, you know, object of shame, and yet we still kind of represent you. And it's bad for your name, and we don't want to do that. So, yes, we are repenting. We are sorry. Please restore us, and then allow us to glorify your name rather than to shame it. And I have a little comment here. We have too many in the church today who do not consider themselves servants of God, but rather they consider themselves those who are entitled to God's blessings as they seek to do their will, not his. In other words, it's all about, bless me, God, and the blessings that I want, these worldly blessings that I want, to have the successes and the riches that I want. Instead of, God, I am your servant, show me what you want me to do. Verse 18. Listen, my God, and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city called by your name. We are not presenting our petitions before you based on our righteous acts, but based on your abundant compassion. Yeah, we don't deserve to have your wrath taken away. It's true, we've served our 70 years, but we still don't deserve to have that wrath taken away. If you do take away your wrath, we know it's because of your compassion, not because of anything we've done, because we haven't done anything. And then verse 19, Lord, hear, Lord, forgive. Daniel is pleading for his nation. Lord, listen, and act. My God, for your own sake, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. In other words, give us another chance, God. Give us another chance to make your name great. We are so sorry. We repent. Help us to be able to be your servants this time. Help us to do your will. Doesn't that sound like a salvation prayer? It really does. Because when somebody comes to Christ, they come in repentance and sackcloth and ashes, symbolically. You know, most of them don't fast because in a salvation prayer because they were lost beforehand, you know, and there it just kind of hits them suddenly. So it's not something that's usually planned, you know, in a month I'm going to pray the salvation prayer. It's not like that. But yet we come with sackcloth and ashes in the sense that we're very sorrowful and we repent and we ask the Lord to forgive us, not because of anything we've done to earn it, but simply because he's a gracious God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this lesson. We thank you for these first 19 verses of Daniel chapter 9 and look forward to looking at those incredible verses of prophecy later on this evening and in just gleaning what your Holy Spirit has for us. In Jesus' name, amen.